The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter Number 11, Text Number 42, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on October 27th, 2012, in Riga, Latvia.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Om Namo
Tat Ahu Aksharam Brahma Sarvakarana Karanam Vishnodhama Param Sakshat Purushasya Mahatmanaha Tadahuraksharam Brahma Sarvakaranakaranam Vishnur Dhamma Parang Sakshat Purushasya Mahatmanaha Tadahuraksharam Brahma Sarvakaranakaranam Vishnur Dhamma Parang Sakshat Purushasya Mahatmanaha Tat That Ahu
Is said
Aksharam Infallible
Nimaldigas
Brahma The Supreme
Auksakas
Savakarana All causes
Visitalon
Karanam The Supreme Cause
Auksakas Talons
Vishnudhama The Supreme Abode of Vishnu.
The Supreme Abode of Vishnu.
Vishnu Gariga Maiveda.
Param. The Supreme.
Augstarkes.
Sakshat. Without doubt.
Vishavam.
Purushasya. Of the Purusha Incarnation.
The Purusha Incarnations.
Mahatmana of the Mahavishnu. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, is therefore said to be the original cause of all causes. Thus, the spiritual abode of Vishnu is eternal without a doubt. And it is also the abode of Mahavishnu, the origin of all manifestations. Purport. Lord Mahavishnu, who is resting in Yoga Nidra on the causal ocean and creating innumerable universes by his breathing process, only temporarily appears in the Mahatattva for the temporary manifestation of the material worlds. He is a plenary portion of Lord Sri Krishna, and thus, although he is non-different from Lord Krishna, his formal appearance in the material world as an incarnation is temporary. The original form of the personality of Godhead is actually the Svarupa, or real form, and he eternally resides in the Vaikuntha world, Vishnu Loka. The word Mahatmana is used here to indicate Mahavishnu, and his real manifestation is Lord Krishna, who is called Parama, as confirmed in the Brahma Samhita. Ishvaraha Paramaha Krishnaha Satchidananda Vigraha. Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam. The Supreme Lord is Krishna, the original personality of Godhead known as Govinda. His form is eternal, full of bliss and knowledge, and he is the original cause of all causes. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the third canto, 11th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Calculation of Time from the Atom. Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Jitha Parakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raganitam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shivishakam Vitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine. So, why not worship Mahavishnu? He is also Krishna. Of course we do worship Mahavishnu. But we don't have him on the altar. We have Krishna or Lord Chaitanya on the altar. Because it is that original form of Krishna that we are most interested in. As described here, the Mahavishnu in manifestation is temporary. So our interest in him is only temporary.
Our interest is, you know.
We're only our interest in Mahavishnu is temporary. We are permanently interested in Krishna. That does not mean that we neglect Mahavishnu. Because by our worship of Krishna, we're automatically worshipping Mahavishnu. But we prefer to think of the Supreme Lord in his original form as Krishna. Because you can have loving exchange with Krishna. If somebody is asleep, how you can have loving exchange with them? Mahavishnu is asleep. So what you can have rasa with someone who's sleeping, you
see?
But Krishna is wide awake all the time. Even at night, he associates with the cowherd boys by day and the cowherd girls by night. Krishna is always available to associate with. And he's so attractive also. I mean, Mahavishnu is not, he doesn't look as good as Krishna. Krishna is the most attractive form of Godhead. So we our interest is Krishna. And Krishna fully satisfies us. Because he is the reservoir of all pleasure.
Tāpēc, ka viņš ir visu baudu rezervārs.
If you're looking for happiness,
jūs meklējat laimi,
don't expect to find it in this material world.
Tad nesagaidiet, ka jūs to varēsiet atrast šajā materiālajā pasaulē.
Because this is just a reflection. This place is a reflection of the original place. Just like if I give you a nice gulab jamun, you can enjoy that gulab jamun. But then I give you a mirror with a reflection of a gulab jamun in it. Here, enjoy the gulab jamun. It looks very nice. It may even look like the original gulab jamun. But you can't taste it. You can't squeeze it. You can't get any juice out of it. So, in this material world, they're taking the reflection. They're trying to squeeze it and get some juice out of it. But Bhagavatam says, "Punak punas charvita charvananam." There's no juice you can squeeze out of it. So to try to enjoy this material world, therefore, is futile. It's a fruitless waste of time. They're working very hard for money, money, money. They say, money, money, money is sweeter than honey. But can they enjoy that money? Can you eat money? Is it? It's not a very enjoyable thing, actually. The actual enjoyment is to be resituated in your original state of consciousness. In loving relationship with the Supreme Person, who is the source of all existence. That is our natural position. As soon as we forget that natural position, there's no way we can be happy. Even if you're a demigod living in the heavenly planet, we cannot be happy. We are just like fish out of water. This is confirmed by our mother. By our mother. Yes. You know who our original mother is? Mother Radharani. She says like this. Mana marava madina jalavina yena mina Krishna vina chani marayaya madurya hasyavanane mana netra yasayane Krishna trishna dvi guna vadaya. You know the Sanskrit? Mana marava madina. My impoverished mind dies immediately if I don't think of Krishna. Jalavina yena mina. Jala means water.
Jala nozīmē ūdens.
Yena means like.
Yena nozīmē kā.
Jalavina, jalavina, vena means without.
Vena nozīmē bez.
And mina means fish. So just like a fish out of water, my impoverished mind dies immediately if what? Krishna vina chani marayaya. If I do not think of Krishna, you see. But then Radharani says, mana madurya hasha vadane. that when I see Madhurya Hasya, the smiling face of Krishna, but when I see the smiling face of Krishna, mana netraya sayane, my mind and my eyes become so enlivened,
mans prāts un manas acis tātiek top iepriecinātas.
Krishna trishna dviguna badaya, my thirst for Krishna doubles.
Un ka manas slāpes pēc Krishnas dubultojas.
That means every time Radharani looks at Krishna's smiling face, her thirst for Krishna doubles.
So,
in the beginning, if she has one unit of thirst, when she looks at Krishna, now she has two units of thirst for Krishna. And when she looks at Krishna again, now she has four units of thirst for Krishna. And do you think she will look at Krishna again? Oh yes, she will look at Krishna again. Now, Radharani has eight units of thirst for Krishna. She is more thirsty for Krishna. So she will definitely look at him again. And now when she has that next glance at Govinda's smiling face, now she has 16 units of thirst for Krishna. And then 32 units. 64 units. 128 units. Etc., etc., etc. So how many times do you think Radharani has looked at Krishna during the vast span of eternity? And how much thirst do you think she has for Krishna? It is achincha. It is absolutely inconceivable. What Radharani is tasting every time she looks at Krishna's beautiful smiling face. But there's something even more amazing than his smiling face. If you can believe that. It is confirmed by Bilvamangala Thakur. He says like this very nicely in Sanskrit poetry. Madharang, madharang, vaparasya vibhor. Madhurang, madhurang, vadanang, madhuram. Madhugandhi, madhusmitam, ittad eho. Madhuram, 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 madhuram. The transcendental body of Krishna is inconceivably sweet.
Krishna's parpasalipis termes ir neaptveram salts.
And his face is sweeter still. But his soft, honey-scented smile is the ultimate sweetest thrill.
Kā ar medu piesātinātais smaids ir viss saldākais.
So you want to enjoy.
Jūs vēlaties baudīt.
Then just gaze upon the beautiful smiling face of Krishna.
Tad paraugieties uz Krishnas brīnišķīgu smaidošo seju.
That has the aroma of the most nectarian honey.
No kura nāk smarža, kas piemīt.
But what if you can't see his face? What will you do if you can't see Krishna's face? Radharani can easily see. What will you do if you can't see his face? If your eyes are covered by lust, by anger, by greed, by madness, by illusion, and by envy. What will you do? Well, by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, Krishna's soft honey scented smile,
Krishna's smile
is now fully available in the form of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. You know that mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So now I can ask if some of you might have some questions. Vishnu Priya Mataji.
Radharani is fully permeated with love of Krishna, then why she has the thirst for his loving smile?
What a question. Wow.
Radharani ir pilnībā pārņemta ar mīlestību uz Krishna, tad kādēļ gan viņa izjūt šīs slāpes raudzīties Krishna's sejā?
Brahmaji explains that Radharani is actually permeated with Krishna's ever blissful spiritual rasa.
Brahmaji skaidro, ka Radharani nepārtraukti piesātināta ar šo te Krishna rasu.
So what does it need to look at his face? She's already permeated with this ever blissful spiritual rasa.
Kāpēc ir nepieciešami braucīties uz Krishna, jo viņi jau tā ir pilnībā pārņemta, piesātināta ar šo te...
That is called a rasa stimulator.
Un to sauc par rasas stimulator.
Just like Krishna made himself, he disappeared from Radharani during after the rasa dance. Radharani got a little proud that I get to be with Krishna and not the other gopi girls.
Kad pēc rasa dēļas Krishna pazuda no Radharani atsuskata, jo Radharani bija iedomājusies kļuvus tāda nedaudz augstprātīgi, iedomājoties, ka tieši viņai ir vislabākās attiecības.
So Krishna disappeared from Radharani, you see.
Tā Krishna pazuda.
So she could feel that anguish of being separated from her beloved Lord.
Lai viņa varētu izjust šīs te alkas, kādas ir pēc viņas mīļotā kunga, tad, kad viņa ir šķirušas.
In this way, her thirst for Krishna became quadrupled, quintupled, sextupled.
Un tādā veidā, lai viņas alkas, viņas slāpes pēc Krishnas četrkāršotos, pieskāršotos, seškāršotos.
So this is all part of the sublime nectarian relationship between Sri Sri Radha and Krishna.
Un tā ir daļa no šīm cēlējām, nektāru pilnējām attiecībām starp Radharani un Krishna.
The next question.
Nākamais jautājums. Cilvēkiem, piemēram, bagātiem cilvēkiem, kuri nododās materiālajām baudām, paskaidro, ka tās nav īstā, ka tā nav īstā bauda, jo vienīgais ierobežojums, ko viņi izjūt, ir laiks, bet visā pārējā viņi jūt, ka tā ir bauda.
How to explain for those, let's say, materially wealthy people who enjoy material pleasures, and the only obstacle is time limitation. That the only obstacle or only difficulty to enjoy is that enjoyment is temporary.
Mm.
But apart from that, they believe that this is the real enjoyment.
Mm-hmm.
How to explain them that this is not the real enjoyment, but there is enjoyment that is superior to this enjoyment.
Hmm. How to convince the person who's enjoying like anything in this material world that this is not real enjoyment? Philosophical arguments are there, but if they're not willing to hear, then what good the arguments will do? They're very simple arguments. Any happiness which has an ending point is not true happiness, because the anxiety is there that at any time this can be removed from me.
Ir filozofiski argumenti, un ļoti vienkārši argumenti, bet ko gan jūs varat padarīt, ja šie cilvēki nevaras klausīties? Un šāds arguments ir sakojošs, ka jebkura pārējoša laime, tajā nepārtraukti ir klāta uztraukums par to, ka šī laime beigsies, un tādējādi tā nav īsta laime.
Temporary happiness is not real happiness.
Pārējoša laime nav īsta laime.
Or you can say it's not pure happiness. Temporary happiness is happiness tinged with the anxiety of knowing that it's only temporary. So you can tell them, my dear sir, that you're happy, I accept.
Un jūs varat teikt, dārgais kungs, jā, es piekrītu, ka jūs esat laimīgs, to es pieņem.
But, my dear sir, your happiness is tinged by the anxiety of knowing that this happiness will one day be taken away from me.
Taču, jūs laimē piemīt domu par to, ka šī laime kādu dienu tiks pārtraukta, beigsies.
Therefore, you are not purely happy.
Un tādēļ, jā, jūs neesat tīrā. Pilnībā laimīgs.
But my happiness is better than your happiness.
Bet mana laime ir labāka par jūsu laimi.
I'm enjoying more than you.
Es baudu vairāk nekā jūs.
Because I am tasting a pleasure in a loving relationship with God.
Tāpēc, ka es baudu laimi, kas rodas no mīlestības pilnām attiecībām ar Dievu.
And nothing can ever take that pleasure away from me.
Un nekas nevar atņemt man.
Therefore, even though you are enjoying and I am enjoying, my happiness is better than your happiness. So if you want to suffer, that's your choice, sir. But if you want to come to the platform of pure happiness, you come and I will train you how to achieve that platform.
Jūs varat kvalties nonākt uz tā līmeņu, kurā ir tīra laime, tad jūs varat man pievienoties, un es jūs apmācīšu.
Next question.
Varētu turpināt to jautājumu. Bet kā pareizi pateikt, lai nebūtu konteksti kā iekšēji, lai es būtu apmienās, lai es tā kā nebūtu pārāk lepnums ar to, ka viņš, teiksim, mazāk izbaudu to laimu, bet es vairāk. Un lai tas nekauts ar, teiksim, manējā attīstībā, ka tas varbūt, nu, lai nav pret šiem kā šķēt.
How to explain it properly, not being proud that I'm enjoying more than he does. And that it doesn't become an obstacle in my progress.
Mm.
Because if you tell it him directly, then he could feel it like an offense. He might feel offended by such statement.
I see. Well, my dear sir, if your happiness is so is so great as you think it is, then why? How could you possibly be offended by anything?
Dārgais kungs, ja jau jūsu laime ir tik lieliska, kā jūs to uzskatāt, kā gan tad jūs var jebkas aizvainot?
Are you happy feeling offended?
Vai jūs esat laimīgs, tad, kad esat aizvainots, apvainots?
Therefore, there is an imperfection in your happiness.
Tāpēc tas norāda uz to, ka jūsu laimē ir trūkumi.
You can offend me and it won't make me unhappy.
Jūs varat apvainot mani un tas man nepadarīs nelaimīgu.
Therefore my happiness is indeed better than your happiness.
Tāpēc mana laime pilnīgi noteikti ir labāka par jūsējo.
Next question. Yes.
Скажите, пожалуйста, почему преданные, которые повторяют 16 кругов, соблюдают принципы в семейной жизни грехасхи, да? И почему они вместо того, чтобы испытывать счастье от практики, да, приносят друг другу беспокойство и у них несчастливая семейная жизнь?
Vai jūs varētu izskaidrot, kāpēc Baptas ģimenes dzīve, kas atkārto 16 apļus un seko regulējušiem principiem, tā vietā, lai izbaudītu laimi, viņi rada grūtības viens otram šajā ģimenes dzīvē, satrauc viens otru un nav laimīgi.
Could you kindly explain why grihasthas, devotees who chant 16 rounds and follow regulative principles, in their family life, instead of enjoying, feeling happy, they disturb each other and cause some problems.
In the household of couple are not finding Vaikuntha in their marriage.
Ja laulātie, Bhaktas neatrod Vaikunthu savā laulības dzīvē.
That means there is some imperfection in their chanting.
Tas nozīmē, ka viņu mantras atkārtošanā ir kādas nepilnības.
There are 10 namaparads. If they will avoid these 10 namaparads, then their household or life will become the spiritual world.
Un ja viņi izvairīsies no šīm 10 namaparādkām, tad viņu ģimenes dzīve kļūs par garīgo pasauli.
So get out the list of the 10 namaparads and see which ones you're committing, which ones you're breaking.
Tad paņemiet šo te sarakstu ar 10 namaparādkām un paskatieties, kurus no tām jūs varat atpazīt.
Next question. Yeah.
Говорится, что в служении, если это такое серьезное служение, можно увидеть Кришну лицом к лицу. Как узнать, что это действительно Кришна проявляется, а не моя какая-то иллюзия?
Kā zināt, kalpošanā, kad ir teikts, ka nopietni kalpojot var Krišnu sastapt vaigā, kā zināt, ka tas tiešām ir noticis, nevis, ka tā ir kāda mana ilūzija?
It is said that if one performs devotional service seriously, then one can see Krishna face to face.
Yes.
So how to know that that's reality, not just imagination?
I see. When all your material desires are gone.
I didn't get it.
When all your material desires are gone, then you know you're really seeing Krishna.
Tad, kad visas jūsu materiālās vēlmes ir izzudušas, tad jūs redzēsiet Krishna.
It's not a hallucinatory Krishna.
Tas nav halucinējušs Krishna.
One may think they are seeing God.
Cilvēks var iedomāties, ka viņš redz Dievu.
Then they see a pretty woman and they immediately are attracted, you see.
Bet tad viņš ierauga skaistu sievieti un tā momentā pievērš viņu uzmanību.
So that is not seeing God, you see.
When
one sees God, he has absolutely no attachment to anything other than Krishna. Then he is seeing Krishna.
Тогда следующий вопрос. И если мне кажется, что вот это какое-то желание, это не материальное, а чисто духовное желание,
Tad, kad ir kāda vēlme, kā zināt, ka tā ir tīri garīga vēlme, nevis materiāla?
When I have a desire, how to know that that desire is spiritual desire, not material one?
Yes, your spiritual master.
Jā, jau tās samgarīgiem skolotājiem.
That's why the guru is there. He's there to train you.
Tāpēc arī guru ir, lai jūs apmācītu.
How to distinguish between what is spiritual and what is material?
Lai atšķirtu, kas ir materiāls un kas ir garīgs.
Śrīla Gurudev, as an example of Dhruva Maharaj, if seeing God is the cause of becoming attached to him, then how is it that in the world we meet so many people who don't even believe that God has form, or maybe they just don't know, but they're very attached to praising Him and worshiping Him and discussing Him?
So, yes, so and Dhruva Maharaj spoke, God appeared.
This was an example. Yeah. So that if
they have seen God. They have not seen God, but yet they're so much attached to praising Him and worshiping Him. That's how is that? He's wondering.
No. Jautājums ir, kā gan tā, viena lieta ir redzēt Dievu, un tad Dievs saista. Bet kā ir tā, ka tik daudz cilvēki, kuri nekad nav Dievu redzējuši, tomēr viņi pielūdz un pielūdz Dievu. Kā tas ir iespējams?
They say, our Father who art in heaven, please give us our daily bread.
Viņi saka, Dievs Tēvs, kas esi debesīs, lūdzu dod mums dienišķo maizi.
So, is that love of God or love of bread?
Tā ir mīlestība uz Dievu vai mīlestība uz maizi.
That is love of bread.
Love of bread.
Mīlestība uz maizi.
So, actually, they don't have love of God, these people.
Tātad šiem cilvēkiem nav mīlestība uz Dievu.
Because they see that God is fulfilling their material desires, therefore they're very much praising and bowing down to God to get their material desires fulfilled.
Tāpēc, tā kā viņi tic, ka Dievs piepilda viņu vēlmes, tad viņi pielūdz Dievu, lai tas piepilda viņu vēlmes.
That's the fact.
Un tas ir fakts.
Does that answer your question?
Yes.
Okay, next question.
Es dzirdēju, kad stāstu, ka Šrīmati Radhakarani, viņa jautāja, kad viņa jūt vairāk Krišnu, kad viņa ir kopā Krišnu, vai kad viņa ir atšķir, kad viņa nav. Viņa teica, ka viņa padomā, viņa teica, ka viņa vairāk jūt Krišnas klātbūtni, kad viņš ir prom, jo, kad ir Krišna prom, tad viņa redz viņu visu, visā. Un tad jautājums ir, kā tas ir saistībā ar to, ko viņš pirmī teica, ka viņi redz, ka viņi ir tā pietiešanās vairāk.
Raudzīties sevi.
Nu, par klātbūtni, ka Krišna ir...
ka viņi vēlas redzēt.
Viņa jautāja, kad viņi jūt vairāk...
Es sapratu, jā.
Kad viņi ir laimīgāk, ka Krišna ir viņai... ka viņa ir satikusies ar viņu, vai kad viņš ir prom, viņa atbildē prom, tāpēc, ka tad viņa ir atviņa visā, un tad viņa ir vairāk, jā.
Tad jautājums.
Un jautājums, tas saistībā ar to, ko guru stāstīja, kad... nu, patiesi, nē. Jautājums ir tāds, kad vai mums arī jācenšas visā redzēt Krišnu?
Šrīmati Radhakarani was asked once... when she enjoys relationships with Krishna more, when Krishna is present or when she is separated, and she replied that when she is separated from Krishna, then she enjoys it with these relationships more because...
What scripture is that stated in?
Es tieši neatceros, bet bija lekcija vienā namahatā, un viņš citēja vainu... vien no šobrīd esošajiem maharājiem vai no kā no guru parampas.
I don't remember because I attended the class and during that class it was quoted and the reason she said that because when she is separated from Krishna then she sees Krishna everywhere.
It's interesting. That's an interesting concept.
And the question is should we also try to see Krishna everywhere?
Should you see Krishna everywhere?
Isn't it like the loving separation is better?
Yes. So I don't know if that's an authoritative quote or not because you couldn't cite the reference. Since I heard it in a class, that doesn't mean it's authoritative. But the principle of being able to see Krishna everywhere is certainly stated right there in the Bhagavad Gita.
Es nevaru pateikt, vai šis citāts ir autoritatīvs, bet tās ideja par to, ka redzēt Krišnu visur, tas ir apstiprināts Bhagavad Gītā.
Yamang Pashati Sarvatra, Sravangshamai Pashati, Tashahang na Pranashami, Satchame na Pranashati. For one who sees me in everything and sees everything in me, I am never lost, nor is he ever lost to me.
Tas, kurš man redz visā un visā redz mani, tam es nekad neesmu zūdis, un viņš nekad nav zūdis man.
It's also confirmed in the Brahma Samhita. Premanjana charita bhakti velochanena santaksadaiva hridayeshu vilokayanti yangshamu sundaram acham jaganaspavrupam govindamadipurusham brahmaham bhajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who is Shamasundar, Krishna himself, with inconceivable, innumerable attributes, who is seen by the devotees with the eye of devotion, tinged with the salve of love. So one who has awakened that love of Krishna within his heart, he will see Krishna within, and he'll see Krishna everywhere, every minute. That's it. As far as that quote, I can't speak on it because I don't know if it's bona fide or not. There's so many things that go around ISKCON that are not true. Even Prabhupada commented on it one time. He said there are so many things in ISKCON. Prabhupada said this, Prabhupada said that, so many false things. That's why it's very important we base everything on Prabhupada's books. Not on hearsay. That verse I quoted, Mana Netra, that's Shisi Ancha
1759.
The verse from Radharani, Yalavina Yena Mina, that's Shisi Ancha 1759. And the other verse is also quoted by Prabhupada in his purports. Madhurang, Madhurang, that's also verses quoted by Prabhupada in his books. So we have to base everything on Prabhupada's books. There's so many stories floating around India that we may pick up those stories, but there's no, unless they're confirmed in Prabhupada's books, don't take them as authoritative. I'm not saying it's not true. I'm just saying I can't say that it is true. Because I've read all of Prabhupada's books, I've never seen that anywhere in Prabhupada's books. So you had a question back there, but we're a little bit over time, and we'll have to save your question for the next lecture, Prabhu. Behind you, the Prabhu had a question. So I recognized his hand up, but it wasn't time to get to your question. But in my next class, I'll be very happy to answer your question. I thank you all very much for coming today. Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
It's great. Srimad Sankarshan Dasadhikari Maharaj ki jai.